say than to these things? And verse 37 tells us what to say. But say, nay! That's what you say. You say, nay! Amen. I'm going to preach tonight about the naysayers. That's what people call us. Say, you're a bunch of nay. They're right. They're right. I am a nay. I'm getting ready to say nay. And I want you to help me say nay to a whole bunch of stuff here. Amen. So we're going to preach tonight about the naysayers. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. He said, what shall we say then to these things? And then he goes on, and that's not, we'll come back to that verse and finish it. I don't want to leave it unfinished, because the second portion is just as important as the first portion. But I want to go ahead and talk about the first part first. He said, what shall we say then to these things? What things? When I saw that, these things, I wondered, well, what things are you talking about, Paul? You know, Peter said that Paul's hard to understand. I agree with him. You got to have your thinking cap on when you read what Paul wrote. He was Pentecostal through and through. He jumped from one camp to the other all the time. And I get to read that sometimes and I think, man, where in the world has appeared in this thing? Commas and semicolons and colons and you know, 10 verses, 12 verses later, you'll find a period at the end of it. He just got carried away. Amen. And I like it when he says, finally, brethren. That means 3 chapters later, he'll end it. So we come by our heritage honestly. Amen. When we say in conclusion, you know what that means, don't you? Don't stand up. Because we ain't through yet. Amen. It's dangerous to sleep in a Pentecostal church. There was a guy sleeping one time, and he woke up just in time to hear the pastor say, let's have everybody stand. And he stood up, and the pastor said, for Jesus. It's fun, isn't it? I like church. It's a great place. What are these things? And then verse 35, he launches into some things. He asks the question, he said, who shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Everybody say who? That's what I'm asking you tonight. Who's going to separate you? Young men, don't you let some girlfriend separate you from Jesus Christ. Young lady, don't you let some boyfriend, some hairy-legged boy, separate you from Jesus Christ. Mama, don't you let your children separate you from Jesus Christ. Hubby, don't you let anybody separate you from Jesus Christ. You don't let anybody come between you and God. That's why we gotta get close to the Lord so nobody can come between us. And I'm going to tell you, there are people and there are things, and they'll try to squeeze their way in. But if you'll get close enough to the Lord, and He'll get close enough to you, amen, the songwriter said, there's never any distance between my Lord and I. And if we'll get that close to Jesus, nothing's going to come between us. And then he talks about some things. He said, shall tribulation? Everybody say nay! I want you to say that like you mean it. I want you to say nay! What's tribulation? Tribulation means the common adversity that comes against all people. I'm going to tell you something today. You need to get a backbone. Because I promise you, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. That's a promise just as sure as any other promise in the book. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have difficulties. You're going to have trials. You're going to be treated unfairly. People are going to hurt your feelings. People are going to talk about you. You're going to have some trouble in life. And God help us not to snivel and cry. Everybody's got trouble. Mama's got trouble. Daddy's got trouble. All of God's children got trouble. You know what? Before you came to God, you had trouble. When you were a sinner, you had trouble. If you're a saint of God, you're going to have trouble. If you pay your tithes, you're going to have trouble. If you give offerings, you're going to have trouble. And if you don't, you're really going to have trouble. That was sneaky, wasn't it? Amen. If you pray, you're going to have troubles. If you fast, you're going to have troubles. If you come to church, you're going to have trouble. If you worship, you're going to have trouble. But is trouble going to separate you from the Lord?
Nay!
Nay! We're naysayers, right? Amen. I had trouble before I come to God. I got trouble when I served the Lord. But I'm not going to let trouble come between us. Amen. And then he said, distress. Let me tell you the difference in tribulation and distress. I told you one time, but somebody might have forgot. I was mowing the lawn. On a riding lawnmower. It was a slow one, too. I mean, it was slow. He had one speed. That was slow. South Texas. Hot. Summertime. Mosquitoes. Amen. I'm telling you, a bunch of them would have weighed a pound. It would have took a bunch of them. A whole bunch of them. But they would have weighed a pound. Somebody told me one time, said, Sister Fry, is this true? They said, up in Alaska, there's not one single mosquito. Is that right? They said, because they all got married and had kids and grandkids. In other words, there's a bunch of mosquitoes up there. She kind of looked like she was wanting to tell the truth and struggling there. But I was mowing. Mosquitoes. You know how it is. Have you ever tried to sleep with a mosquito in the room? You just say, just bite me and get it over with. Land somewhere for goodness sakes. Eat till your heart's content, but quit buzzing. So these mosquitoes, I mean, they were troubling me. You talk about tribulation, common to all men. Buzzing, flying, biting. Oh, man. Amen. I was griping. Stupid mosquitoes. I wonder why God made mosquitoes anyway. And about that time, a big old red wasp, I didn't see him coming. He hit me right between the shoulder blades. That's the difference in tribulation and distress. I mean to tell you, I went from tribulation to distress. I mean, 0 to 60 in no time. Woo, I had lit my fire. I got up off of that machine. That hurt. Amen. You're going to have tribulation in life. Is that going to separate you from God? But then every now and then you're going to have some distress in life. Is distress going to separate you from God? You've got to say nay. Amen. What in the world is distress? It means that you're hemmed in by circumstances. We call that being between a rock and a hard place. Amen. On one side, you got the rock. On the other side, you got a hard surface. And that don't work very well, does it, Brother Cody? Lift your hand up. I want to lift your right hand up. That one right there. Amen. You know what happened to that finger right there? It got between two hard surfaces. And what was it, 14 stitches later? That's what happens when you get hemmed in. It hurts. You've been hemmed in and you know, God, look, you didn't have any good choices. Israel had that problem, didn't they? Before them was the Red Sea. Behind them was the army of Pharaoh. You talk about distress. And they were in distress. They were crying out. They were worried. They didn't know what in the world they were going to do. Amen. What's going to happen? Now, they got, some of them didn't have the Holy Ghost. None of them did, really. But some of them didn't even have faith. And what did they do? They started saying, why in the world did you bring us out here, Moses? Wasn't it good enough to die in Egypt? We're going to die out here in this wilderness. They're going to run over us. They're going to kill us. Amen. What did Moses say? He said, be still and see the salvation of the Lord. What happens when you get into stress? When you're between two hard places and you can't see any way out? You just stay still and watch God come through for you. Amen. I'm so glad that happened. That Red Sea split wide open. You remember that? I remember preaching about this one time. And I read somewhere, some army officer that was, you know, he was in charge of provisions and all that stuff. He said that in order for those Israelites, about 2 million of them, in order for that many people to cross the Red Sea in one night, they had to march something like 8 miles across. That's a pretty big hole right there. I mean, God didn't just make a little narrow opening. He made an opening. He said, we need to get you folks through here. We need to hurry. Amen. I'm telling you, when God makes a way, it's obvious. When God opens a door, He opens a door. When God splits the sea, He splits the sea. When God does it, He does it right. Hear me today. Will distress separate you? Say no. Nay, it's not going to separate me from God. I'm going to get him new sometimes. I'm not going to see any way out sometimes. But God's always going to make a way. He always has. He always will. And then Paul said, persecution? Is persecution gonna separate you from God? Nay! I'm not gonna let. What is persecution? Persecution is when people afflict you. I was in Bible college. There was a young man from a prominent family, Houston, Texas. Came to a Pentecostal service, got the Holy Ghost. Went home so excited about God. His parents were embarrassed. They said, we don't act like that. We don't go to that kind of church. And Daddy said, as long as you live under my roof, you'll never go back to that church again. He honored his father. But every time his dad would leave, he'd get on the telephone. And he'd call up some people at the church. And he'd say, would y'all come pray with me? I had the privilege a few times to sneak over there and have a bootleg prayer meeting. Hey, I'm telling you, young man got something. When mom and daddy didn't leave, he didn't call a party. He didn't break out a keg of beer. He didn't bring in a bunch of drugs. He said, we're going to bootleg some prayer around here. I'm going to call for the elders of the church. And you know that young man served God without getting to go to church. Amen. He's going to church now. Amen. He made it. Here, you make it. When people afflict you, you can make it. Another young lady went to Bible college with her. She come back from getting the Holy Ghost, called and told mom and daddy what happened. When she got home, the door was locked and her stuff was sitting out on the curb. Amen. You know what? She's still making it. Hallelujah. I saw her not very long ago. She's still serving the Lord. She's been through a whole lot of stuff. She's been through some ups and some downs. But she's still serving the Lord. She said, I'm not going to let persecution separate me from the Lord. She said, nay. Amen. We got to make up our mind that persecution is not going to separate us from God. Well, Brother Grissom, you know, when they go to school, they laugh at me. So what? So what? You think they laughed at Jesus? They did a whole lot more than that. Amen. Praise the Lord. That means that your light's shining. That means that somebody can see you're different. Pardon the personal reference, but when I was in high school, I got the Holy Ghost when I was 15 and just started high school. And I didn't believe in wearing shorts and dressing out in PE, so I wanted to participate. I had nothing against physical education. You can't tell by looking, but I used to didn't. You may think I'm not in shape, but I am. Round is a shape. I'm a well-rounded person. And so when I went to PE, I dressed out, and I wore my T-shirt, and I had these white painter's pants, you know. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Washington? Those white breeches that painters wear. That's what I wore in PE. You talk about standing out. I stood out. Especially when we started swimming. Amen. But you know what? I could swim just as good as anybody. Right. Amen. I could volleyball as good as anybody. I could football as good just about anybody. I could baseball about as good as anybody. I could basketball. Matter of fact, the coach kept saying, "We want you on the team. We want you on the team." He'd say, "Can't you get special permission?" I said, "It's not that. I just don't feel like it'd be right for me to do it." Amen. Praise the Lord. So you see, you can stand out and be different. It's all right. But you know what happened because of that? People would come up to me and then on the sly, they'd say, "Johnny, I know. Make sure nobody's looking. Would you pray for me? I got some problems and I just wondered if you could pray for me." Amen. You see, when you stand out, it's a good thing. Praise the Lord. We read a book called To Kill a Mockingbird. In that book, it talks about tongue talkers. Of course, it's derogatory. And it makes fun of them. And my teacher kind of derogatorily said, "Anybody know anybody like that?" And I said, "I talk in tongues." Praise the Lord. I got to tell my whole class about Acts 2:38. Amen. You see, I just cannot up and do it. I was glad I had the Holy Ghost. And there was a Assembly of God girl in that class, and she stood up right with me, and she said, "And I talk in tongues too." Hallelujah. There were two tongue talkers in that class. I'm glad for our young people. Amen. Doing Bible studies at school, having prayer meetings at school. Amen. You shine like a light. Thank you for not giving in, giving up. Amen. You're not letting anybody persecution comes your way. You just stand right up to it. Amen. I'm just telling you today, people who will try to afflict you, is persecution going to keep you from Jesus Christ? Nay. How about famine? Famine means doing without necessities. I know some people say, "I'd love to go to church, but I don't have anything to wear." Liar. You got stuff in your closet. Get something on and come to church. Huh? It may not be what you want to wear, but you can wear something. Just cover up your flesh and come on. Amen. So, "Well, I don't have any dresses." Well, we'll get to that. Just wear what you got. Come on. Amen. Just wear what you got. Just come on. Just get here. Amen. God'll supply all that later. Well, He'll take care of all that business. You just come on. You just get here. Praise the Lord. I remember Brother Freeman over in Africa. He said, "You pastors over there worried about how people dress." He said, "Over here, we're just trying to get something on them." He was not nearly so worried about what it looked like. Just get something, cover them up. Amen. And missions is a little different world, you know. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so that's famine. It's doing without necessities, not luxuries. Necessities. That means coming to church whether your shoes match or not. Whether your purse matches or not. I got up here one time leading the service. Man, we got things cranked up. I sat and looked down. I had on a brown shoe and a black shoe. No problem. I had another pair at home just like them. Amen. Hey, it was really cool. Nobody noticed. Or at least they didn't say anything. Amen. Praise the Lord. I might do it one next time just for fun. Amen. But you see, don't let necessity separate you from the Lord. I'm talking about necessities here. That means when you don't have enough food. Amen. I just don't have enough gas to go to work and go to church. Well, I'll tell you what, if you'll get to church, God will see you get to work. I don't know if anybody believes that, but I do. Did you ever read that to one of Sister Freeman's books, I remember? She was talking about her sweet mother, Sister Eastridge. Sister Eastridge was a great lady of faith, and she'd get in that old car, and they'd go to fellowship meetings and youth rallies, and they didn't have any money. She said, now, when they got to that youth rally, they said, now boys, you're going to have to pray, because we don't have enough gas to get home. So I want you to pray that the Lord will get us some gas in the car. And so while Mama was preaching the fellowship meeting, they was making sure there's gas in the car. They went out there and they got them a siphon hose. And they made sure there was some gas to get home in that car. Now, sometimes God makes a way in some really odd ways. But they got home. And they didn't. She got in the car. She was so excited. She said, look at this, boys. See, I told you the Lord is going to provide. She did not know till years later how that gas got in the tank. Hey, man, till they were grown and not whippable. And then they told the story. Amen. But I'll tell you what. Whenever you step out and you're in necessity, amen, God's going to come through miraculously. Miraculously. Amen. You say, oh, how come I don't see miracles? Because you don't have enough problems. Amen. God still does miracles. God even does little miracles. Is that okay? Cherie was singing at the ladies still the other day, and something happened to the mic stand. And she was holding that buddy up, you know, trying to sing and play the piano. She was about to go into convulsions. And she said, Lord, would you send somebody up here? Everybody was spiritual. Everybody's praying and stuff. She couldn't get anybody's attention. What's wrong with you people? She's out there playing. She said, Lord, help me. Send somebody up here. And something said, let go. And she did. It didn't fall. It stayed perfectly balanced until she got through, and then it fell. Amen. And God just has a way of working things out for us, folks. When you get in necessities, God's going to come through. I'll never forget the testimony of a dear brother that was during the days of the Iron Curtain, during the days of severe persecution. He lived in some of the Soviet Union region, and he suffered severe things. Imprisoned numerous times. Beaten and persecuted numerous times. But he stood at our conference that year with tears running down his cheeks. And he said, during those days, he said, I felt the grace of God like I've never felt it before. When you get there, what is it they say? If God brings us to it, He will take us through it. Don't you worry. Amen. I don't know how I'm going to make it, Brother Grissom. You don't have to worry. But don't let famine separate you. Don't let necessity separate you from the Lord. And then Paul said, nakedness What does that mean? That means what it says. That means embarrassment. That means exposure to the elements. That means without covering. That means being exposed to severe heat and severe cold. That's hard for people in North America to imagine. When you can actually go to places and buy clothes for almost nothing by the pound. But it's not like that everywhere in the world. I said it's not like that everywhere in the world. There are places that don't have it as good as we have it here. Amen. And so he said, if you get that severe, you have nothing to cover yourself with. Is that going to separate you from the Lord? I remember reading part of the story of Corrie Ten Boom when she and one of her sisters were in a concentration camp, and those cruel guards took their clothes from them. And there they stood naked and exposed, and her sister was so ashamed. And Corrie looked at her sister and said, called her name, I believe it was Bessie. She said, you remember when Jesus was on the cross that he was naked too? And she looked at Corrie and she said, oh, that really does help. That really does help. If God brings you to that place, don't let that separate you from the Lord. You know, God can give you a covering that people can't see. And they may see things that God said, oh, but I'm going to take care of that. And He'll cover you with grace, and He'll cover you with mercy, and He'll cover you with compassion. And then he said, is peril going to separate you from God? What is peril? That's dangers. Just raw danger. Now, I'm not talking about being foolhardy. I'm not talking about putting yourself for some selfish motive in harm's way. I'm not talking about stepping in front of the train to see if God will stop it. That's not faith, that's foolishness. But I'm talking about in service for God. When you find yourself in a peril, Paul said, a day and a night have I spent in the deep because of shipwreck. Amen. He said, I've been in perils of robbers. I had to go through territories where people would rob and beat you up and take what you had. He said, I was in peril of my countrymen, and I was in peril by foreigners. And he said, I've been in dangerous situations. Almost always, the Colombians were very protective. When we were in Colombia, it was a very dangerous time to be there. And they would do their very best to keep us from harm's way. There was one pastor. We had just gotten there. We'd just been there a very short time. Not at all acclimated. He asked us to come for an evening service. It was outside of Bogota, perhaps an hour or so. And so we went out and we had church. We had church. And it was time to go back. And he looked at us and he said, you can't go back now. I said, what do you mean I can't go back now? He said, well, the gorillas are out now. He wasn't talking about monkeys either. He was talking about the kind with machine guns and stuff. He said, you can't go back now. I said, brother, why don't you ask me out here tonight? Knowing I can't get back. And he just kind of smiled. And I said, well, we're going back. Amen. So we got in our friend's car that was borrowed. We didn't have our vehicle yet. And we got in his car. My wife and Cherie got in the car. And we prayed. You better believe we prayed. And we headed home. And if there was any gorillas, I didn't see them. Amen. And I could believe that God could have kept them from seeing us. But we made it home just fine. Praise the Lord. I'm talking, God protects you if you're in peril. And you're not there foolhardy. But you're there on business for the King. We were on our way to a meeting one time, and we were headed down the highway, and there were a bunch of looked like soldiers standing there, and they had their guns, and they had their signs saying stop. And I got close, and I really felt like the Holy Ghost said, don't stop. So instead of hitting the brake, I hit the gas. Man, they scattered every direction. Thank God they didn't shoot. Amen. I believe to this day that was a guerrilla camp. And if we had stopped, we very easily could have been at very least kidnapped and held for ransom. Amen. But God's protection was there. God's grace was there. Amen. But God also gives us good sense. I wanted desperately to go to an area I'd never got to go to and preach a youth camp. They invited me. I wanted to go so badly. And I did everything I could. I tried to get plans. I tried to get tickets. I tried to get there. Everywhere I turned, things were not working out. I was frustrated. And I had pastors saying, don't go. Don't go. That's not a good place. Don't go. I couldn't get there. And finally I said, okay. I called and said, I'm sorry. I can't come. I can't get there right now. If I would have gone the very day that I would have arrived, the guerrillas took over that entire, it was like a state in Colombia. They took over all the government. They shut down the airports and the bus stations and the train stations. There was no way to get in and there was no way to get out. They assassinated political leaders. People couldn't go to work. I mean, they shut it down. And God knew I would have been right in the middle of that. Amen. I'm saying God will protect you from perils. And if you're in a time of peril, He'll get you out of it. He'll take you through it. Amen. It got bad. I'll never forget, we got a message from some of the church leaders that had been going on for a while, and they called and said, or messaged and said, please, said, we can't work, we don't have any money, we don't have any food. And so we said, but we'll get you some food there. Amen. And they wanted us to get some money to them so they could buy some supplies. And we said, we can't get it there today, we're going to have to wait until we can wire it. And I'll never forget, the pastor said, well, couldn't you fax it? He didn't really understand the process. Couldn't you just fax it? And no, you can't fax money. They'll prosecute you for that. Amen. And but God protects you in times of peril. Is peril going to separate you from the Lord? Nay. And then he said, how about a sword? You know what Paul's final demise was according to history? A sword. History says that Paul was in prison and they took him from prison and beheaded him with a sword. The sword did separate his head from his body. But it did not separate his soul from the Lord. He was faithful to the end. And it did not separate, rather, It joined him eternally to his Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm saying to you tonight, none of these things, none of these things. What do we say to these things? Nay! Nay. Amen. And then look at verse number 38. I want you to notice very carefully what he said. He said, "For I am persuaded." Now, I want to ask this question tonight. Are you persuaded? Paul said, "I am persuaded." You know what persuasion is? It means that you've listened to two sides of an argument and you made a choice and a decision. Paul said, "I heard their side and I heard his side and I'm persuaded." Amen. I'm asking you tonight, are you persuaded? He said, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life." Some people are willing to die for the Lord, but they're not willing to live for the Lord. Some people are convinced that when I'll just live how I want to live, and then when it gets to the end, I'll just be a martyr and I'll be saved because I'll just die for Jesus. Well, I got news for you. If you can't live for Him, you sure won't die for Him. And then I've met other people that they're afraid of dying. Let me just tell you today, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." When you get to the time of your departure, it's going to be all right. Paul said, "For the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "But I have fought a good fight." Amen. He said, "I have finished my course." He said, "I have run this race. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but all of those also." We're the also. Amen. Praise God. Let me tell you, if it comes to that, God's grace will be sufficient. If you've got enough faith to live for God, you're going to have enough faith to die for God. Amen. I've watched some precious people go be with the Lord. I have. I watched folks enter into the glory land talking in tongues. Amen. If you'll stick with Jesus, He'll stick with you. I told you my sweet little aunt had, I don't know, some kind of timers. I don't know if it was Alzheimer's or which one it was, but she didn't know anything. Sometimes she didn't know her own sweet daughter, but she'd had the Holy Ghost for over 60 years. She was still sweet. You'd walk in the nursing home and you could hear, she played one of those little, what do you call them, harmonica thing. Yeah, she'd get that thing and she'd be down there and boy, she'd be having church. She'd be playing "I'll Fly Away." She didn't forget how to do that, Brother Neil. She probably didn't know her own name. But man, she could play that thing. She could sing. My cousin went in, her daughter went in one day and she said, "How's Mama?" And they said, "Oh, she's not doing very good today." She said, "What do you mean?" She said, "She's talking out of her head." She got down there, she wasn't talking out of her head, she was talking in tongues. And my cousin Bernie said, "Oh, Mom's doing all right. She's better than all of us." Amen. Praise God. I'm just telling you, you know, you serve the Lord. He won't leave you. He won't forsake you. He'll be with you. He's not going to let you go. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My little mama, when she got ready to go, she told the girl at the nursing home where she was, she said, "I'm going home today." And of course the nurse thought she was, you know, out of her mind. She wasn't out of her mind. Amen. When she walked out, she come in 5 minutes later, she was gone. She said, I'm going home. She meant home. Amen. She didn't already have to give up home. She had to get rid of home. Amen. She couldn't live at home anymore. Not here. Amen. But her captain said, come up higher. Hallelujah. Amen. Another one of my sweet cousins was in a coma. Lay there for some time. Amen. And all of a sudden she sat up straight in her bed. And she said, just as clear as a bell, she said, sir. Aye, sir. Come in, sir. And she was gone. Hallelujah. She heard a voice that said, come up higher. I'm telling you today, nothing's going to separate you if you live for God. Are you persuaded? He said, not death, not life. He said, not angels. Paul said that, didn't he? He said, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which I have preached, let him be accursed. Amen. Don't you get off. I know people got so spiritual. Amen. Angels talk to them all the time. And some of those angels lied to them. And they believed it. We had a great young man. I had hopes for him. He was loved the Lord. He went out in the boonies somewhere with a friend of his. They got out there. They got a visitation of some spirit. They came back. They were as warped as they could be. And we couldn't unwarp them. You listen to them and you listen closely. If you ever get too spiritual above your leadership, you've been lied to. Amen. If you change your mind about what's in this book, you've been lied to. You've been deceived. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you get so smart that nobody can tell you, you have to hear it from an angel. You've been lied to. Amen. And so there's people who've been separated like that. I've watched it happen. Amen. He said principalities. Principalities refers to fallen angels or demons. Demons will try to separate you from God. And then he said powers or authorities. There are people. I'll tell you what I believe. I read something this last week. It's kind of shocking. I know it's there and I've read it several times of late. And I know this may not seem like a lot to you, but did you know that the U.S. military forbid people from getting on the Southern Baptist Association website? And they call them a hate group? Yes, they did. When it got out and it became public knowledge, they said, well, it was a glitch in our computer. Thank God for computers to blame things on. Amen. It used to be the dog ate my homework. Now we can blame computers for everything. It wasn't a computer problem. It's just a sign letting us know that there is an Antichrist force that is growing every day in this nation. And you say, well, that was the Baptist. If they think that about the Baptist, what in the world do they think about us? And I'm not saying that to be derogatory to any group. Amen. But I remember them saying in Germany, they said, when they came for the Jehovah's Witness, we didn't speak up because we were not Jehovah's Witness. When they came for the Mormons, we didn't speak up because we were not Mormon. When they came for this group and that way, we didn't speak up because we were not them. But by the time it was our turn, there was nobody to stand with us. Amen. If they'll condemn one Christian group, they'll condemn another Christian group. Amen. We're living in those times, folks. I hope that we don't have our head in the sand. This is not the United States of America that I grew up in. Amen. We're seeing it on every hand. It's in the news somewhere almost every day that somebody I told you a few weeks ago about a young man in a college, a university in Florida, and his professor said, I want you to write Jesus on a piece of paper. Write the name Jesus. Said, throw it on the floor. And then said, stomp on it. One young man said, I can't do that. You know what? The school kicked the student out. It wasn't until public opinion turned against the school and so much heat came on the administration that they then took action against the administration or against the professor and restored the student. All I'm saying is, folks, there's a spirit of Antichrist in the world. In the nation of the United States of America, and it's rising up every day. And Christians are called haters. That's not what Jesus said. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. Because you have love one unto another. And if you do hate, shame on you. If you hate anybody, you need to pray through. Because that's not what Christians do. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, so powers or authorities. Don't let that separate you. Church has been through this before, hasn't it? The first persecution against the church was their own Jewish brethren. Later persecution came from the Roman authorities. There's always been persecution against the church. We've been sheltered and protected. But we're seeing that come in our own nation now, rising quickly to the forefront. And it has happened so quickly. And then he said, nor height nor depth. What is that? Those are astrological terms. But the height refers to the stars when they're at their apex. And depth refers to stars when they're at their low point. You got to understand there were people and there are people that still determine their lives and their destinies by the stars. That's right. Some people don't even hardly get out of bed till they read the horoscope. And they don't do it for fun. And if you're doing it for fun, cut it out. It ain't fun. There's a spirit attached to that. There's a difference in astronomy and astrology. Astronomy is simply the study of the heavenly bodies. But astrology is an ology. Amen. It's a religion. It's a philosophy. Oh, Brother Grissom, I just do it for fun. You be careful. You start flirting with spirits, you got to be very, very careful about what you allow. Things can get a hold of you before you know it. But literally, there are people that live their lives by the stars. He said, don't you let that separate you. Now, in North America, we have a different kind of stars. But you got to watch out for them too. We got stars in Hollywood. And we got stars on the basketball court. And we got stars on the football field. And we got stars on the baseball diamond. And we got stars in NASCAR. And we've got stars all over the place. And I'm afraid that some people have allowed the stars to separate them from the Lord. Amen. Now, I know that was stretching a little bit, but it's true anyhow. Amen. Do you know why we have so much discontent in the United States of America? It's because what people see and put before their eyes every day. My mom and dad one time here in East Texas, actually found a fellow that had a chicken coop out behind his house that didn't have any chickens in it. They went in there and cleaned it out, got some cardboard and put on the floor, put it around the sides. And they and my mom and dad and three kids moved in there. And we're thankful for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I remember a house I grew up in. Have you ever lived in an old house? Do you ever notice how small the closets are? You know why that is? You didn't need much. Have you ever noticed how many plug-ins they got? That one hanging down from the ceiling? It's got a bulb in it and a little thing you can plug something into. You know, because they didn't have much. But you know what? They were content. And they were happy. Amen. And they had character. And they had strength. And they were not looking for any handouts. I said they were not looking for any handouts. And if somebody gave them something, they were profusely thankful. But now it doesn't matter how much people get. All they want is more. And they are discontent. The Bible said that, didn't it? It said in the last days they will be unthankful. And we are living in that day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Bible said, don't you let that separate you from God. And then he said, any other creature. Let me make this very plain to you. There's only one creator. And everything else is a creation. And everything else is a creature. Amen. Don't let anything separate you from God. Not any devil. Not any angel. Not any person. Not any power. Don't let anything separate you from God. Amen. What are we going to say?
Nay!
Nay. Oh, mercy. Amen. I remember... Now let me close here. I'm sorry, I didn't realize the time. I'm just having fun and not carried away. I appreciate Brother Colton. He always tells me that. Everybody else back there saying? And he's saying, preach, brother, preach. Let's finish up here. The rest of the verse 31 said, if God be for us, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, for the first time in my life, I'm a part of something that's rigged. It's usually rigged against me. This is rigged for me. Look at this. This is pretty awesome stuff. Verse number 32, what did it say? I'm going to turn my page and I can find it here. He said, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He said, we got a God that was willing to give his own son for us. Hey man, you think he's going to turn you down? You think he's going to turn against you now if he's willing to make that kind of sacrifice on your own? You think that God's going to turn against you? And then look at the next verse. He said, and who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. The devil can lie all day long. And God said, all I can see is the blood. All I can see is the blood. That's the advantage of repentance, Brother Wesley. And that's the power of baptism. When you've been baptized into His name and you've taken upon you the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are blotted out. And God says, Rattle on, Satan. I don't see a thing. Amen. Sister Joan Ewing wrote a song years ago. When you get to the judgment bar, said, what are you going to see? Just empty pages with nothing to read. Hallelujah. Because my sins are blotted out by the name and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then, hurrying on here, verse number 34. He said, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. Here's our accuser rattling on about all the bad things we've done and about how bad we are. And right there's our prosecutor, or the one that should be prosecuting us, and he's praying for us. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. He's making intercession. He is saying, give them power. Give them strength. Give them victory. Give them mercy. Give them grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. Everybody say nothing. What are we going to say? And all these things, what are we going to say? Nay! Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Conquerors would be enough, he said, but that's not enough for me. God's kind of excessive, you know. When he made wine for that first miracle, he made about 150 gallons, Brother Neil. That wasn't so everybody could get drunk. You know what wine is? It's a symbol of the Spirit. It's a type of the Holy Ghost. It's also a type of joy in the Scripture. He said, I want you to know something. When I do something, I do it in abundance. Amen. When God gave you the Holy Ghost, he didn't just dab a little bit on you. That's why the Bible said it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The word baptize means plunge under. It means immersed. It means buried. Hallelujah. It means covered over. Oh, God didn't just put a little blessing on you. When he gave you the Holy Ghost, he gave you the whole thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, we're more than conquerors. You know what a conqueror, more than a conqueror is? It's somebody that knows that the battle's already been won. Hallelujah. You can tell the devil he's defeated. When he comes to you, threatening you and talking to you and trying his very best to harass you, you just look him straight in the eye. Amen. And you say, listen to me, slew foot. I know that the battle's already been won. You lost the battle. Jesus won. And through him I will win also. I'm not going to have the victory. In Jesus Christ, I already have the victory. Amen. I'm going to stand in victory. Amen. I might have to sing about it from a jail cell, but I can still have the victory. The Apostle Paul never did say, I'm a prisoner of Rome. He always said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm here because he wants me here, and when he wants me out, I'll get out. Amen. That's living in victory. Praise the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm really through. He said, more than conquerors through him that loved us. That loved us. Amen. Everybody say, he loves me. I'm glad he loves me tonight. Amen. That's why all this happened. Because of love. He loved us. The Bible said that when we were yet enemies of Christ, he loved us. While we were still enemies of the cross, he loved us. While we were running away from grace, he loved us. I read a statement. It was accredited to Ted Turner. I don't know if he really said it, but it was written somewhere that He made the statement, I didn't ask Jesus to die for me. Didn't have to. He did it anyway. Tom Trimble wrote a song, beautiful song, titled Just In Case. It says, I went ahead and died for you just in case you want to turn to me. You may not choose to. You may decide to go your own way. But just in case, just in case, just in case you ever decide you need a Savior, just in case you ever decide that you need somebody bigger and higher than you, I went ahead and died for you just in case. Amen. Just in case. Amen. What are we going to say to these things? Let's stand together. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house here tonight. Amen. Our minds made up. I believe there's some believers in the house. I believe there's some folks here willing to take a stand tonight. Hallelujah. Has the devil been lying to anybody here?
Yes.
I think you ought to come tell him no. Amen. Has the devil been kind of telling somebody, you know, you can, why don't you just experiment a little bit? Just try a few things. You can always come back. He always says that. But I'm telling you, it's further back than you think it is. Brother Kilgore always said that, he said, you'll stay longer than you intended to stay. And it'll cost you more than you intended to pay. It's a long way back. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. So many times you make it back, but children and others may not. That sojourn's going to cost you. Amen. You better make up your mind to stay stable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. I got my foot on the rock. I've got my foot on the rock and my mind's made up. When a dream...